It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282, and let's talk legal.
Well, let's talk legal. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Michael.
How are you? I'm going to get my volume up here. There we go. So, we were talking about the coronavirus, and that has had its effect in the legal community as it relates to all of the functions of the courthouse. Let's talk about that.
Let's do it, Mike. You know, Mike, Wes and I started this program, Let's Talk Legal, 20-plus years ago now at this point. And the purpose of our program all through these many years has been to disseminate and to explain, demystify different types of legal issues. We feel it's a great public service that Harvell & Collins has provided to allow people to call in, mm-hmm. ask a legal question, not necessarily get that legal bill.
Legal advice.
You know. Yeah. And we invite people this morning to call in about anything and everything, but particularly just about the coronavirus and particularly how it might affect one's legal life right now. After all, legally, things have not stopped, have they? I mean,
no.
People are still on the highway. Folks are still fighting their illnesses. We're losing, certain folks are losing their family members and estates are needing to be opened. Documents are needing to be recorded. I heard yesterday from a realtor who was in our office on a file that she was getting a tremendous amount of activity, quite frankly, in the realtor world due to, you know, the cut in interest rate. So what Wes and I would like to talk to about this morning is, where does our court system stand in light of the coronavirus? What is open? What is happening? Because we are here to tell our listeners that there has been a great deal of, there has been a significant response from the North Carolina State Bar, who we respect, and the Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court, who have announced guidelines and directives to the North Carolina court system.
Okay.
And so with that said, Wes has a lot of handy research over there, and we'll start to go into it, okay? And then I'll follow up from there.
Let's dive into it, Wes.
Yeah.
Right. So Chief Justice Sherry Berry, she had a basically – an online presentation that she gave on Friday, mm-hmm. That was available to all attorneys relative to closures and those type things. That was on Friday at 11 o'clock. And then she followed up yesterday with a memorandum to all of the senior resident Superior Court judges across the state, the chief district court judges, clerks of Superior Court, district attorneys, and public defenders. And those are the folks who kind of are going to be overseeing the local courts,
sure.
the state courts. With some direction as to, you know, basically from the top, as it relates to how our courts would operate. In the memo, you know, it goes into a lot of things, but it really breaks down this into four, five, six different categories, or directives. Number one is that in-person meetings must be postponed or canceled to the fullest extent possible. So the overriding, direction by the Chief Justice was, you know, we can continue to operate our court system, but we're not going to have public type gatherings. We're not going to hold civil court right now.
Okay.
We're not going to hold criminal court right now. Personnel working in the various courthouses can be there, but we're going to stop like the in-person meetings, those type things to the extent possible, obviously, because we're wanting to be socially responsible
right.
and limit those things. So there are 23, my understanding, currently 23 courthouses, state courthouses around the state that are in fact closed, closed. And I really don't know what the answer is with regard to filing things and those type things with those particular counties. Onslow is one of them, by the way, from what I read this morning. Carteret County is not, and Craven is not, from what I understand, based on the information that's available online. So as it relates to the courthouses that are still open for business as it relates to just the bare basics. They're basically in a situation where the estates are still open, the clerk is still there, I think most office personnel are there, but there's not any actual court being held.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that raises some questions about, well, what about emergency-type things? So as we go through this list, we can kind of see what the Chief Justice has indicated. But number one on the list, as I said, is no in-person meetings. So we're not talking about, you know, sometimes people need to come in and meet with the clerk to go over estate issues. Sometimes they need to meet with the clerk, you know, for whatever it may be. Open for filing right now, but not open for these in-person type things unless it's absolutely necessary. So as we look down the list from the Chief Justice, number two on the list after limiting or postponing in-person meetings, number two is when cases or hearings cannot be postponed for the next 30 days, remote technology should be utilized as authorized by law and to the fullest extent possible. So, you know, obviously this is have a phone conference, you know, use your email, you know, do your Skype, do that type of thing. We had a cancellation yesterday, one or two in our office with some of our elderly folks who were just following, kind of following their social responsibility, right, at this point in time to stay at home. And we were able to just reschedule those for phone conferences at a later date. I mean, that's a good way to continue to take care of people's concerns and business, you know, without exposing themselves potentially to the virus and also following through with their social responsibility that now is something that's so new to everybody.
Yep.
You know, it's a strange kind of
the
situation.
The new normal.
New normal, at least for the current. And these items that I'm going through as well, I kind of skipped over this, is from the Chief Justice, 30 days. We're talking about these kind of limitations for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, of course, the public school system is closed for a 2-week period of time at least.
Right.
So, but this is extended a little further. We're talking about a 30-day period of time. So then when we do have matters before, let's say, the clerk of court, you know, as we've talked about on the program before, we've talked about what jurisdiction does the clerk have? Well, jurisdiction has a heck, or the clerk has a heck of a lot of jurisdiction. Guardianships, special proceedings with regard to foreclosures. When I say guardianships, incompetency proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of estates. There's a lot of areas in which there are important areas in the law that the clerk of court has jurisdiction over and actually serves as a judge. So when we're talking about these matters before the clerk of superior court, the Chief Justice has indicated that subject to health precautions, involuntary commitment hearings, guardianship hearings, and presenting estate administration matters should be conducted. So obviously people need guardianship sometimes. That's kind of an emergency type situation in certain circumstances. We can't just close the court as it relates to dealing with folks' estates. I mean, people are going to pass away from whatever it may be, whatever health issue it may be. It just, that's life, right?
Right. We live, we die.
So, you know, the Chief Justice recognizes we have to be able to continue to move estate administration forward. And then involuntary commitment hearings, you know, these are situations where, you know, if people have mental illness, have maybe a danger to themselves or others because of mental issues. Mm-hmm. So these are emergency type situations.
And so, Mike, what we're beginning to see here now is the way in which our good the Supreme Court of North Carolina Chief Justice has in their wisdom has kind of set forth, if you will, a pecking order of priorities. I mean, our listeners need to understand, our clients need to understand that we are still able, as of yesterday, and I think so this morning, to open up an estate. We are able to protect your loved one from if the facts and circumstances are, you know, the need for an interim guardianship or emergency guardianship. These areas of the substantive law, the clerks are still in our county responding to. Other things, such as, let's say, a special proceeding relative to a foreclosure matter or a hearing on the on a foreclosure. Those matters, the Supreme Court justice is saying, let's hold off for 30 days. Let's wait and see where we go with these things. It's interesting to see this pecking order and see these priorities, Mike, because we are very aware of these priorities. I was very concerned as I went into the office yesterday morning about several files, but particularly a couple of different files where it really was critical that we get some documents recorded at the Register of Deeds in this particular file, some deed transfers accomplished. And it was critically important that we be able to get letters testamentary for the executor in this particular estate due to certain circumstances that exist in that estate. So we were pleased that we were able to move both of those matters yesterday. And as of right now, we are beginning to see, and we want our listeners to understand that the courts are not closed. It's just that the substantive areas that can proceed before the court are limited. They are prioritized.
Yep. You know, and it goes back to Cecil and Wes, the shows over the course of your time here. The one thing that comes out is you should be prepared and be prepared for the unexpected. And this certainly falls into that category. So when you talk about people getting their affairs in order, you should plan for the unexpected. And we're certainly in that, we're living that right now, aren't we?
Yeah, no doubt about that. You know, you never know what next week is going to
exactly. And this is really
what's going to be going on in 6 months. This is not even related to COVID. I mean,
this is an extreme case. Yeah, but you never know when things like this pop up. Let's take a short break here, gentlemen. We'll come back and we can take your calls 252-247-7282 if you have concerns about your case right now in the civil courts. Fortunately, Carteret County Courthouse is open. Some counties are experiencing some closure. But we'll continue this conversation with Let's Talk Legal, Harvell and Collins, Cecil and Wes, when we come back after this short break. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal. We're talking about the courts as they stand now and all the proceedings that are happening in the various courthouses. Fortunately, Carteret County Courthouse is open. And Wes, you alluded earlier that you believe that Onslow County was one of the 23 courthouses closed, and you are correct. They are closed, as is Jones, Duplin, and Sampson, but Carteret and Craven are open.
Right. The nccourts.org website is pretty much up to date.
It is.
They have a map there that shows who's closed, who's open. So, I mean, that's a good place for listeners can go check for the latest information about whether the courthouse of interest is still open or not.
Yep.
So, you know, talking about the courthouses that are still open and these directives from the Chief Justice, as Cecil was indicating, under this kind of number three here, when we're talking about involuntary commitment hearings, guardianship hearings, and pressing estate administration matters should be conducted. Under that same category, the Chief Justice goes forward and says that foreclosures and special proceedings must be postponed. So there, you understand,
sure.
Obviously, financial-related things as far as a foreclosure.
That can wait.
We got to wait on that because that's going to require, you know, a hearing. I mean, it's going to require people to come to the court and testify and that kind of thing. So that's on the pause button. So then we were talking about matters before the magistrates. Magistrates must conduct initial appearances and subject to health precautions should continue to perform weddings. So obviously there might be some constitutional issue there with that, but nevertheless, weddings are still, those services are still available. Small claims, proceedings, including summary ejectments and money owed, must be postponed. So summary ejectments, those are situations where folks are being removed from property because they haven't paid their rent, that's postponed for a period of time in the courts. Can't be heard. And then we were talking about district and superior court. This is really our trial level. This is when, if anyone's ever been to a state court room before, these are the situations where we've got the room full of people,
mm-hmm.
Especially in district court where you've got the criminal sessions. And this is really what we're trying to stay away from. In Superior Court, this is a situation where we've got 100 people there in a jury pool. You know, this is a situation we're trying to stay away from, right?
Right.
So the direction with regard to that is all civil and criminal district and Superior Court matters are not subject to the exceptions of her order, including traffic court, must be postponed.
Sure.
So there's no option with regard to that. Obviously, there are options with regard to the clerk of court locally making decisions regarding the actual closure of the courthouse itself completely. But there's not an option with regard to the Chief Justice's order and actual court sessions being heard. No juries, no calendar calls, nothing, you know. So all that shut down all across the state.
I wonder, though, in the sense of a felony first appearance in district court, would mm-hmm. they do it through a monitor at the jail to the courtroom or something like that? I think there was some exception about that because isn't it by statute a person charged with a felony has to be in court the following business day? But if the court's closed, it's not a business day.
The magistrates are there to conduct initial appearances. If they're doing that one-on-one and keeping the six-foot distance or whatever they're doing with regard to that, using gloves, using masks, I don't know about that. But that is still going forward because it's necessary. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've got to keep order in our society.
Yeah.
If they're criminal-related issues that first appearances need to be dealt with, then that's something that the Chief Justice has dealt with directly. Now, I got to tell you, you know, this is excellent that the Chief Justice has been so specific in what we can and cannot do right
sure.
now. I mean, this is a pretty quick thing for, you know, you get – determination of pandemic, what, Tuesday or Wednesday of last week?
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, 2 days later, you have the Chief Justice give some direction and very specific direction. And that's what I, you know, want to accentuate. This isn't just from the Chief Justice saying, everybody be careful, exercise social distancing, you know, don't shake hands. This is specifically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
what you can, what you cannot do, what's
available. And that's the kind of direction that, you know, we all need. So the important things can continue forward as they should, but things that are equally or maybe as important but can wait a little bit are put on a second priority list, putting health and safety first.
Yeah.
These directives were presented to we lawyers last Friday. There was a communication from the North Carolina Supreme Court that there would be a web-based announcement, and it was last Friday, and of course our law firm tuned into that very carefully. Wes, I think, tell us about your statute of limitations on all of your many cases.
Right. So obviously, Mike, as we've talked before, over the years, you know, in civil cases, you have a statute of limitations on just about any type of claim you're dealing with. You know, if you're talking about a negligence claim, it's a 3-year statute of limitations. If you're talking about a wrongful death claim, it's a 3-year statute of limitations. Most contract-based claims are going to be a 3-year statute of limitations, some 10-year. Fraud-based claims, in many cases, it'd be 4-year, sometimes 3. But these are important time frames, numbers, limitations, because in the event that you miss that deadline, there's no reprieve.
Mm-hmm.
You have to file your case within that period of time. So obviously, coming to court coming to the office yesterday at work, which we are still open.
You're open.
And
yes.
we are exercising the social distancing, and we're not shaking hands, and we're maybe, you know, touching elbows
sure.
or whatever we need to do with our clients and washing our hands before and after and having them do so and doing all the things that are recommended to exercise, you know, our social responsibility to our fellow people. We're doing all those things. But coming to court or coming to work yesterday, I didn't really know whether the court was going to be open or not because Chief Justice Beasley's presentation on Friday wasn't really clear as it related to whether the courthouse would be open or not. So then when you have issues, cases before you that you have to file within a certain period of time, statute of limitations, those type things, then you have a big question mark as an attorney. You know, what do I do about that? Well, obviously that was answered pretty quickly when we got this memo and indicated that the court is still going to be open, and we learned pretty quickly that the court will be open for purposes of filing.
Good.
Like lawsuits, yeah. You know, filing estates, filing whatever it may be. So that is available. Now, in the counties that are closed, I don't have an answer for you as it relates to that. My experience with regard to that is that typically when we have an emergency situation, when the courts have to close, such as Hurricane Florence, there's normally an order that is entered by the Chief Justice that extends the statute of limitations. I think that we had one during Florence that was at least 30 days. It may have been 45 or 60 days, where any statute of limitations that would expire during a certain period of time, as indicated in the order, was extended to a date certain.
Or maybe any other deadline. Like a deadline to file an answer, or a deadline. There are, as you, of course, as we know, there are many deadlines in litigation.
It gave like a blanket extension.
It was an extension on statute of limitations, on the time to file any kind of responsive pleadings, any kind of deadline whatsoever. But obviously the one that's most deadly to a case would be the statute of limitations if you miss that.
Good information. And as Wes Collins and Cecil Harvell are talking about the courts, we have 100 counties in North Carolina. We have 100 courthouses. And of those, 23 are closed. Fortunately, though, Carteret County and Craven County remain open. So we'll continue this conversation after this short break with Harvell and Collins, Cecil and Wes. If you want to reach them at the office, they are open, 252-726-9050, harvellandcollins.com. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal. Having an excellent conversation with Harvell and Collins, Cecil and Wes, about the proceedings going on in courts. Our court here in Carteret County is open, and they have prioritized those issues that they're going to handle in the court. And I think, Wes, you outlined that brilliantly as far as what the Chief Justice said is going to take priority.
Pretty easy to follow what the Chief Justice has done for us on the memo. But, you know, I would recommend to the listeners that if you do have questions, the best source as it relates to the court availability is the nccourts.org.
Yeah.
So that's very important.
Go ahead. In our last few minutes, I think, Mike, the important thing to communicate is how very proud we are of our court system, and how, you know, isn't it fascinating in a way how effective it can work. For instance, we talk about these deadlines. There are deadlines everywhere. I mean, there's years allowance deadlines in estate administration. There's spousal elective share deadlines in estate administration. There are 90-day inventories. There are final accountings and annual accountings. This is just in the area of estate administration. In the area of litigation, the deadlines are everywhere you turn, okay? What I'm wanting to communicate here is that, let's say, for Onslow County, we have listeners in Onslow,
sure,
in Jones County, that maybe their deadlines are occurring. The courts will use their discretion in orders to extend and to correct these deadlines.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you, Cecil. And again, go to nccourts.gov, and you can see the map there of the courts that are open and are closed. And Harvell and Collins is open. You can call them at 252-726-9050 or go online, harvellandcollins.com. They're located at 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City.